bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angels
up from the tombstone said, he is risen, just as he said. Quickly now, go tell the disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
Here we go, joy.
Are you kidding me? That was awesome, right? That's awesome. That's exactly what I wanted. That you guys nailed it. You know, that's so good. I'll tell you a little story to get us going. I met my wife's dad. What's his name? I met my father-in-law, and he was a Jesus Revolution man to the core. In my office bathroom. It's carved out of hand wood of Jesus Christ's face, and he carved it high on acid. This is just a little bit of his backstory. God transformed him from the inside out, made him into this amazing pastor, amazing man of God. I didn't know he owned a shirt for the first 6 months that my wife and I were dating. He was always just walking around without a shirt. That's just how he rolls. He was ready to jump in the ocean. That's what my wife is defending her father. That's amen. But every Easter, he just cranks up the old Marantz amp, puts all the speakers on 10, 11, and cranks that song, right? I started doing it too. I didn't do it this morning just because my kids are teens. They're heavy teening. But I've been dreaming of doing that since, I don't know. This makes my dreams come true. Thank you, worship band. Thank you, David Wheatley. Thank you, Barbara, for arranging all this. Thank you for everybody being here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
No, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. I should tell you some announcement, but I kind of feel like just going straight back into worship. But we should also meet one another. But hold on a second. Senior options coming up next week. We're going to be rolling into like just a couple week series of just having our lives recalibrated by this Resurrection Sunday. Today changes everything. Amen?
Amen.
And so come join us. We're going to be reading from the Revelation of John and studying how this recalibrates our lives from the inside out. I already said senior options, right? From all kinds of other stuff that's happening, make sure you find out what's happening on there. During the closing hymn, we're going to have Daniel, first-time guest this morning. Stacy, Grant, and Edson are going to be dismissed during the final hymn to go hide the Easter eggs. Okay? And just because you have a walker doesn't mean you can't look for eggs. Right? Right? Amen? That's the only gospel you need to hear today. Anyway, Let's greet each other in the name of the Lord, and I'll call us back together to worship our risen Savior. Love you, my man.
Love you.
I love that. It goes over.
A great light dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. Wonder-working rebel priest. Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Hope a Sunday is coming. Devil, you're dumb, you better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. So we let those soldiers take him in as his friend betrayed him.
Hey, Patch. Kyle, glad you're here, brother. Ian, are there any of those garlic mashed potatoes left? Okay. Happy Easter, man. All right, I got some bad news and good news. If you're seated, that's the bad news. I'm going to ask you to stand back up. We're going to call us to worship. And just one thing I forgot at the opening of the service. We're going to have the Easter egg hunt, and anybody and everybody's invited to look for eggs. And then right after that, there's food. If you don't have Easter brunch plans or Easter lunch plans or Easter whatever time of the day plans, there's going to be ham and garlic mashed potatoes. They're insane. They're like a little bit. I think I ate a whole clove of garlic or a whole onion. I'm not sure. The first bite last night. I'll still us, but then keep this excitement level high plateau, right? Jesus Christ is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. He is risen. Let's worship our risen Lord singing Christ Arose.
A favor for those who are able, stay standing because we're gonna have an up Easter set. Okay, you can stay standing for at least one song, and then if you want to rest your legs after one song, you can do that. Here we go.
We were.
all know this one. We've done this for a bunch of years. And I always remind you, there's something incredibly powerful about it. You're made of it. How are all things made? Spoken into existence. So all around the world right now, people who believe just as you do are joining in all types of languages and accents, and they're using their voices to create sound. And that is creating a stream of love and peace. So let's join them together. It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Love song born, grateful choir. Here we go.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns.
Let it rise above the four winds. Caught up in the heavenly sound. The praises echo from the towers of the peace to the faithful God underground. All the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, listen. It's all God's children singing
glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, He reigns. He reigns.
All the powers of darkness tremble at what they just heard. Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. But we do what?
All God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah.
He reigns.
Hallelujah.
He reigns.
Hallelujah.
All God's children singing glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He reigns.
Hallelujah.
All God's children singing glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
He reigns.
Hallelujah.
He reigns.
Hallelujah. Children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns. And this has been our tradition. 20 years. Can't let us down on our Easter tradition. I got my Easter basket from Terry this morning. We've got our Let It Rise. Let's sing it out with all our might.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of God rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us, let it rise.
Let the songs
of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord
Thank you, Praise Band. Wasn't that a great way to start our Sunday worship? Well, I have a privilege today to tell you about a celebration story of some family members in my life. My story celebrates my dad, Morris, and my oldest brother, Gary. Our Midwestern family of six grew up with lots of laughter, and we would be at church, my mom singing in the choir, and my dad was serving as the church treasurer. Though we were regular attendees, I really don't recall much conversation about God and faith in the home. Christian values, yes, but personal relationship with God was really never shared. My siblings and I attended Sunday school until we were free enough to make our own choices. Each of us chose to leave the church when it was permitted and would later find our own personal journey to faith. My brother Marty and I moved to California in our 20s, while my sister Wendy and Gary remained rooted in the Midwest. Gary was the first to marry and had two daughters that came soon after. Though years later, he would become an alcoholic and eventually was introduced to crack, which took over his life, and so the loving family was shattered. We often hear there's a rock bottom with addiction that can actually be the catalyst to recovery. I remember Gary's rock bottom. His wife, Mary, discovered that their life savings had, and she hadn't seen him for days. So she called my dad, who went out to find his son. Dad began searching through crack houses where Gary was eventually found. He dropped Gary off at a recovery center, and he had to go through the grueling withdrawal process. Though recovery programs are absolutely needed and was definitely necessary in Gary's case, it was his daughter, Sarah, who took him to church and introduced him to some godly men that his life was truly saved. Christians from church surrounded their family. They walked beside him in those months of recovery. Gary, Mary, and the girls desperately held on hope they found in that first year. The church never wavered. They stood by their side until they could stand on their own. Pat and I had many prayer phone calls with Gary and Mary during those months, and we were stunned how quickly Gary had understood Scripture. We could hear the transformation every time that we talked. He soaked and actually became the man that God intended him to be. He became very public about his faith, telling others how much that God loved him, and it was so miraculous to see God's redeeming love and restoration of my brother in his family in such a personal way. Though the new beginning to life did not linger. Soon after, my dad was diagnosed with inoperable lung cancer, and 2 months later, Gary was diagnosed with inoperable colon cancer. Radiation was their only. Gary was convinced God would heal him as he had in the previous months, and he believed that God appointed him to go through this difficult time with Dad, just as Dad had done with him. So he scheduled radiation treatments at the same time and the same place as Dad so they could experience their cancer challenges together and go through radiation treatment. I would go home every month to attend doctor's appointments and spend time with Dad and to serve them any way I could. What I found is that my love for my dad deepened in such a profound and indescribable way. You see, the Lord was inviting me to go deeper with my dad, to bring encouragement and to share my faith. I began calling more frequently, writing letters that included Scripture, and praying continuously. A few months into the diagnosis, I was home for a visit and abruptly woke up at 3 a.m. and found Dad sitting in a living room chair. His face was just ashen with anxiety and fear. I sat next to him and asked what was wrong. His response, "Doris, help me to know what will happen when I die." I knew immediately this was an appointment that God had made for me and my dad. I shared Scripture that says that to die was to be with Christ. To be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. I explained the gospel to Dad, and asked if he would like to pray for new life with Christ. And in those early hours, we bowed our heads together. For me, it felt like the most intimate time with the Lord. My heart was breaking, but my faith was strong, and God seemed so close. Both my brother and my dad had death sentences, but they had come to know. Following, I had several opportunities to read scripture with my dad. The years growing up, the Bible was on the shelf, but now it was taken down, dusted off, and it became the living word. 5 months from when they were diagnosed, they both died. My brother first on July 21st, the day after my brother's birthday and a day before mine, which I later found was actually an answer to Mary's prayer. Pat and I were with Gary and Mary in his final hours. We read scripture and watched as he struggled to hang on to every word. We prayed and we played his favorite worship songs. He died in the early morning hours, and during his last breath, Mary sang Amazing Grace as the hospital staff watched with wonder, and we sat in that bittersweet place of heartbreaking grief, but surrounded by God's tangible presence of love and comfort. A few hours later, we would drive to a different hospital to be at Dad's bedside, informing him of his son's death. And my dad quickly began to withdraw and prepare for this later. It was heartbreaking for sure, though that is not how it ended for them, and it's not how it will end for us. So yes, I celebrate their lives. I smile when I think of my brother welcoming my dad into the kingdom. I can imagine the joy my brother had when he extended his arms to his dad. So my testimony about Matt and Gary is full of remembrances of God's love and faithfulness. Psalms 23 was lived out for me in those months. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I remember when Pat and I returned to California, we attended our first worship service. The sermon was on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into that fiery furnace, and the people saw them standing in the furnace with the Lord. The pastor said, the reason the three of them could stand in the furnace is because they learned how to stand in their faith through life's challenges before they were ever thrown in. I believe that's God's desire for each of us, because at any time, we as well could pierce. I will close with this little poem that I found that God had written during his cancer battle. The Lord above loves us below. His mercy and healing are free. He'll touch your life and save your soul just as he has for me. Thank you.
it a morning like this, when the sun still hid from Jerusalem and Mary rose from her bed? And the Lord she thought was dead. Was it a morning like this, when Mary walked down from Jerusalem and two angels stood at the tomb? Bearers of news she would hear soon. Did the grass see?
That was amazing. It's epic. Yeah, they all want a Mazda Miata. That's what Terry said. She's going to buy you all a Miata. No, I'm just kidding. That's right. I got some good news for Edson. You don't have to hide Easter eggs after this. This guy Jake over here said, I want to hide Easter eggs. You get a break, all right? Stacy got lock eyes. It's awesome. During the last hymn. Just to repeat, now it's Jake, Daniel, Stacy, and Grant. Man, there's so much to be said, and it already speaks for itself, too, right? Right? Or yes or no? I'm going to need a lot of interaction today, otherwise we're going to be here 4 hours. I'm just messing. This screams it, right? Thank you, Margot, for making sure that looked gorgeous. And all the people that brought in flowers. Yeah, we can round of applause. We're going to be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, and we're looking at a different passage usually. Usually we read the resurrection text, and I just want us to look at it afresh this morning. Pretend like you've never heard it. This is that first Easter Sunday, but what if it was a morning like today, like you guys just sang about? Was it a morning just like today? Jesus has been saying all along why he was here, why he was sent by the Father. We're looking at a text out of the Gospel of John, and at the end of John, he describes why he wrote this gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those are called the Synoptic Gospels, and they've been written. Mark was the first, Matthew next, Luke put Luke and Acts together. It was actually a two-volume set, so if you want to read Luke, you're supposed to read Acts as well. And then there's a long pause, and John writes his gospel. And John, when he writes his gospel, he's already had his revelation. He's already written revelation. He's already had Patmos. He's had all that. He was one of two of Jesus' best friends. Friend John, right? Good job, Wayne. Not only a sound man, but an answerer as well. At the end of his gospel, he says why he wrote it. Because the gospel, the synoptics had already been written, but he wanted to write his version. And he wrote it at a third grade reading level. Simple, profound, deep. And he says, I wrote this, and I'll go to that verse just so you know that I'm saying it just as he wrote it. It's John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So three reasons, right? Really two, and one of them combines the two and gives you what its result is, right? Jesus is the Messiah. If you read that in the Greek, it's redundant because it's Yeshua, right? Yesu is Jesus in Greek. It's the Greek derivation of Yeshua, rescuer. So it's the Messiah, Messiah. The rescuer, rescuer. That's his name. Jesus Christ is rescuer, rescuer. I wrote this gospel, this is John saying this. I wrote this gospel so that everyone will know that Jesus is the rescuer. And what makes it so he's the rescuer? He's the Son of God. Does everybody remember? I'm doing the background work, so my sermon will be really brief. Everybody hang with me. Is everybody with me? Okay. So he's Yeshua, Yeshua. He's the rescuer. He's the Messiah. He's the being that saves the day. Right on time. Not before, not after, on time. He's the Ouios HaTheos. He's the Son of God, the begotten Son of God. The synoptics, you may remember, they all start with genealogy. Luke starts, Matthew and Mark start with pop quiz. You all fail. Everybody's still waiting for the coffee. They doesn't start with Adam. They start with one starts with the woman and one starts with the man. Anywho, goes through the genealogy. John, however, starts his gospel where? Creation, the universe. Jesus was the rescuer, rescuer, but he also was the Alpha. He says in this first chapter, there's not a thing on this earth that is made that wasn't made by Jesus Christ. He's God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And then by putting your faith to, and that's the word pistuo, by putting your faith into these two truths, and he usually says into, not in. So this is faith in the stool. This is faith into the stool. We have our faith into the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, the rescuer, that he's God, came for you and me. And he came for you right in this text. As he's rising from the dead, he's saying, Amy? Bo? Jim? Kyle? Daniel? Maisie? Stacy? Nora? Alex? Micah? Dan? E? Don't call him Dan. He'll mess you up. True story. I don't know where I'm supposed to put that back, but this is all background. What is this? And in this text we're about to study, remember Mary and Martha? Everybody remember her? The two sisters. We find out later in the Gospel of John that they have a brother. And you remember Mary sits at Jesus' feet. Martha, what's she doing? She's working. Do I have that reversed? Good. By the way, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was dead set I was going to give one sermon. That's not the sermon I'm giving. That sermon I'm going to give on Mother's Day. I'm going to use the same text. And God's been preparing my heart, and I was like, let me share it on Easter. It's not an Easter message. It's a Mother's Day's message. So everybody come back for Mother's Day. Is everybody around for Mother's Day? What week is Mother's Day? May, whatever. We're going to give you flowers, too. Don't we give people flowers? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Worship committee elders like, yes, we will. Okay. Come back, and we'll study the same text, and I'll tell you how amazing women are. But that's not the message. He's risen, and we got to put our dancing shoes on. Simon's trying to creep in that he is risen indeed. He is risen. Okay, good job, Simon. Okay, I don't know what you're doing to me. Okay, let's read this gospel message. Oh, I was writing about to tell you what the background is. We find out Mary and Martha have a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus has gotten sick and has died. Jesus is busy doing miracles and feeding people and preaching, so he's late to the scene. And this is the conversation between Martha and Jesus, not the text yet. I'm still coming. Right after this text, Jesus goes, and he goes to the gravesite, and he weeps. That's Good Friday. In the meta-narrative, that's Good Friday. We're coming off of that truth. Jesus weeps. He weeps with us as a man, as a Messiah. He weeps for us as Huios Hotheos, as the Son of God. Then what happens? He raises Lazarus from the dead, right? That's his last miracle. That's his last miracle. And so the raising of Lazarus is pretty much a pretelling of what's about to happen. Jesus cries on behalf of all of humanity, and at the death of his friend, he weeps in the garden a few days later, drops of blood. If there's any other way, get me out of this. He weeps with us and on our behalf. He's laid in the tomb, and he's raised again to new life. Amen? Now we'll read the text, this conversation between Martha and Jesus. It's John chapter 11, right? There it is. Lord. Master. Martha said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again. He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe you are Yeshua Mashiach. I believe you are the Son of God. Ha. Uyas ha theos. Who has come to this world. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, me as your mouthpiece. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said. First, I feel like it's my duty as pastor to ask on behalf of Jesus Christ, do you believe? Excellent. Excellent. My work here is done. We can sit down. Doris already gave it, right? Doris already summed it all up. I'll add to it. I'll add just a couple words about resurrection life, about what that means, about what that looks like, about this day. Poet George Herbert's, George Herbert, right? Right, Susan? She's my poet sister now that Jim Clark is with the Lord. Reading this book, A Poem a Day, for, and George Herbert has a poem called Easter Day, Easter Sunday, and it ends like this. It's a beautiful poem. If you get into poetry and you feel like reading something really good, look up Easter Sunday by George Herbert, and it has these beautiful words, just wordsmith, just crafted. And it talks about how, he talks about playing the lyre and the lute, and he's talking about the wood itself crying out how good general life. He's weaving this all together, and he ends it with this. He says this, can there be any day but this? He's talking about Easter Sunday. Can there be any day but this? Though many suns to shine endeavor, we count 300, but we miss. There is but one, that one ever. Bum, bum, bum. Did everybody follow that? Can there be any other day than this? He's talking, his poetic language, wrapping this truth that Easter, today, Resurrection Sunday, changes everything. My hero, mentor, friend, John, Reverend Dr. John Huffman always says, for every believer, every day should be Thanksgiving and every Sunday should be Easter. George Herbert disagrees. George Herbert says, every day is Easter. Every day is Resurrection Day. He rose, He rose. He rose. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he, every day is Easter. Every day is resurrection. Life. Life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. This is where Nouwen's, our devotional, chimes in. This is Henry Nouwen's words for today. From, we've been going through this devotional. There's a couple copies left. We're going to throw them away. Take them home and read them over, I guess. Read Lent in reverse. I don't know. Do something crazy. Here's Nouwen. We are preaching Jesus Christ as the risen Lord of life. We see this cross. We see the risen Lord of life. This is not an idea. It has become very concrete, very real for us. We have to dare to affirm life wherever we see it. We have to dare to affirm life where we see it. Celebrate life and lift it up. Any youth in here? But you know how he kicks off Rattle and Hum. First song. He says, here's a song Charles Manson stole from the Beatles. I'm stealing it back. And he plays Helter Skelter. Now in saying, wherever you see life, even if it's an imitation life, even if it's fake life, like amusement park life, TV life, like all the things that have facades that they look like life. We have to have the courage as followers of Jesus to walk into that and say, no, life belongs to my God. We're stealing it back. God owns life. God owns life, and through his son dying for us, has handed it to us. He died so that we might live. That's what we talked about last week, right? Whenever we did communion. He died so we might live. So if you're not living, you're not believing he is the Yeshua Messiah, the Messiah, Messiah, the Son of God. You're not putting your faith into, remember the stool, you put your faith into Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of God who paid so that you don't have to die anymore, and you live. It's like today I'm handing out a to-do list, and there's one thing on it, live. Is that simple enough, right? That's simple enough for me and you. I see a lot of frowns still. I don't know how I'm supposed to take that. Okay. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Perfect. Live. Second little thing. A couple weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago, I think. It was the fifth week of Lent, Saturday. And it was titled Dance. That was Nouwen's devotional. Before I tell it, or before I'd say this third point, I'd like to tell you a little story. Anybody who know who Benicio del Toro is? Actor? Benicio del Toro. Anybody ever watched The Actors Guild with Lipton? Yeah, Lipton. Oh, P.S. James Lipton, yeah. I knew it was Lipton because of the tea thing. But I forget his first name. I saw the extended version, just sidebar between Danny and I while you guys listen in. I saw the extended version of your AutoZone. I've only seen the short one, but the long one's awesome. You come out of your truck and you throw your hat down. Anyway, just a sidebar. He's on TV. Does anybody know that? He's on TV. He's an actor. He does all kinds of stuff. And that Cheeto commercial. Still, I think that's my favorite commercial I've ever seen in my life. Everybody, look, it was Mr. Cheese Doodle. For reals. This is way off topic, but go up, look up Mr. Cheese Doodle. The one that you're riding, you're fake riding a horse. Keep it cheesy. I can't stop watching that thing, dude. I cannot stop watching that. I don't think I've ever had a cheese doodle. Anyway, ACL Del Toro, I saw him, by the way. We were on a tram. This is way off topic again, but I love telling these off topics because we're going to come back and it's going to be on topic and everybody's going to have goosebumps, I promise you. So I'm cruising through the LA Zoo with me. I see Benicio Del Toro right by the rhinos. I go, that's Benicio Del Toro. He goes like this. I don't know. He did that to me. I'm really famous. Anyway, Benicio Del Toro is on James Lipton's show entitled... And Lipton says, asks him a question, as he does. You know, he says, when you're starting on a new character, how do you step into that character? Where do you start? And Benicio sits back and he thinks about it for a second. And he says, I start with my character's shoes. I start with my character's shoes. What shoes do my character... And I'd like to ask you, what shoes do you want to walk out of? This Resurrection Sunday, 2025, what shoes do you want to have on as you leave this place? And I have a suggestion. This is the devotional from fifth week of Lent, Saturday. The stranger from Nazareth had made everything new. He had made them into people for whom the world was no longer a burden. The world was no longer a burden, but a challenge. No longer a field of snares, but a place with endless opportunities. There's endless opportunities out there. It's not a field of snares. It's endless opportunities. He had brought joy and he had brought peace to their daily experience. He had made their life into a dance. The devotional writes, light does not fear the darkness. The new life that we are in Christ does not cower. Our feet are not frozen in terror, stuck to the ground, as it were. The gospel requires dancing shoes. How do we apply this? First, put on your dancing shoes. Our Messiah died so that we might live. Believe. Believe in the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world, which that includes you. That includes me. Put on your dancing shoes and dance. Wherever there's life, draw near to it. Because God owns it. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit. We believe, help our unbelief. Also, transform once again. Remind us once again that you died so that we might live today. We might see the world as opportunities, as an adventure. For resurrection life started the day we declared you as Lord, as our Lord of our lives. Dance through today, this week, this month, this year, on into eternity with you as the King of our lives. Every day is Easter. And all God's people said, He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing to our risen Lord. Please be seated. Do you know that your Redeemer lives? Man, what a good moment to just freeze in. As we continue in worship, it's a portion where we are invited into the adventure with our tithes and our offerings and our gifts. Jesus paid it all, right? He died so that we live. And as we live, we rally together. We give a portion of the blessings that he so richly bestowed upon us. And we collect them, make this outpost, this kingdom of God outpost, louder and brighter, so that the hurting world would know, will know, will continue to know that he lives. This morning's tithes, gifts, and offerings now received.
Good morning. Praise be to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new life into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom he raised from the dead. Standing on that great promise, will you please pray with me? Almighty and risen Lord, on this radiant Easter morning, we gather with generations past and present to proclaim the same unshakable truth. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we celebrate not just a moment in time 2,000 years ago, but the greatest movement in all of human history, the rising of our King, the shattering of the grave, the flood of new life, a resurrected life. What a mystery, what a mercy that the cross was not the end. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy that flows from your wounds to cover ours. Thank you, Jesus, for the resurrection life that births forth from you, from your empty tomb, and calls us into your living hope. And yet, Lord, we are still here, still walking with one foot in your kingdom and one foot in this beautiful and broken world. A world that is grieving, a world that is gasping for resurrection hope. Teach us to be your hands and feet to this world, where violence echoes in the streets, in the schools, in sacred places. We pray for your peace to thunder louder. Where hunger haunts families, where water is scarce and hope is running dry, we pray for your abundance. Where fear is used as a weapon, where truth is twisted and your people worship in the shadows, we pray for your protection and boldness. Where earthquakes and floods and fires leave devastation behind, we pray for your mercy and sustenance. Where prejudice poisons hearts and justice feels delayed, we pray for your righteousness to flow. Father, we pray for those in our midst that need a fresh touch from your Holy Spirit today. And we pray for those who are not able to be with us. Heal bodies, we pray. Heal minds and souls. Be with each one who need your Easter hope today. Continue to form us into a body of believers that care for one another and for the entirety of your creation. Lord, stir us from complacency. Break our hearts for what breaks yours. Do not let us grow numb to the headlines or forget our calling in the noise of this world. Teach us to pray with fire. Teach us to act with compassion. Teach us to listen long enough to hear what you're saying. And then to go where you're leading. Easter unites us. Not just the globe, but with every disciple who has ever stood at the edge of the tomb and dared to hope again. This day is a line in history. Easter changes everything, even 2,000 years later. When the powers that be put you in the tomb, they thought they could bury hope, but your hope has risen. They thought that they could silence the truth, but your truth speaks still. They thought that they could contain your love, but your love is overpowering. Christ is risen, and the world will never be the same again. Hallelujah and amen. As we continue worshiping you, Lord, we unite with your believers everywhere, praying the way that you taught your disciples. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you please stand for our last hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today. And there are four of you who know who you are. You have a job to do.
Yes, 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 yes. Have I said thank you for coming this morning? I don't think so. Maybe at the beginning. And hopefully you know you're loved. Do you know you're loved by the God above who sent his one and only son to die on your behalf so that you might celebrate life? I was a pastor in Muskegon, Michigan, and I was living on a property that had 2.2 acres. And I had a sit-down mower, so it was a slice of heaven. And it snowed, like, right after Easter. I got all kinds of funny stories about that. But I'm sitting in my sit-down mower, and I'm cruising. And an Easter egg flies out into the woods. Just kind of, like, chopped up, like one of those plastic Easter eggs that we had hidden, you know. Don't leave any Easter eggs out there. That's the challenge part two of the sermon this morning. And then make sure no one leaves the building until all the food in Fellowship Hall is gone. And hopefully I'll see you next week. But for now, receive this benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all earthly understanding, may that peace guard your heart and your mind today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Let it be so. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
Celebrate life.